It is Today FM. It is Easter Sunday. Weekend Breakfast. Allison Curtis with you and Joanne McNally. We've just been paying each other compliments for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You, I was saying earlier, there's an Amy Poehler interview.
I heard you. I was listening to you this morning. Yeah.
And I love her so much. But I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it, I suppose, where we talk automatically about being female comedians, but I'm drawn to female comedians
because
it's female material that I want to hear about, right?
Yeah, I'm the same.
Are you?
Yeah, like when I'm in Edinburgh, it's very rare I'll go and see a male comic.
But that's just because I think we're thinking their point of view will be the same or something. I don't know.
It's just you're drawn to what you know.
Yeah.
That's why I always thought it was such a shame. Like when there was that period in time, and I think it is shifting, where it was just always like male comics on lineups.
Yeah.
You're like, it's kind of boring. Like they could be incredible performers. Like, there's so many male comics that I adore.
Yes.
But then when there's a female comic that I connect with, it's a different type of connection.
Yeah.
I feel like they could be my mate. Yeah. Do you know that way? And I think that's what people are looking for.
Or you talk about something that you've probably gone through.
Biggest thing that people want themselves reflected back on them.
So
it's the same with falling in love. We're all basically just completely self-obsessed. You fall in love with people who remind you of yourself.
Oh my God, no, that's not my case. My husband's really lovely.
You do. But you fall in love with people with the same interests and the same hobbies.
And that's why I think when 30 Rock came along, I was like, oh my God, Tina Fey wears glasses. She has mousy brown hair.
You kind of look like Tina Fey.
She loves cupcakes. This is my kind of lady.
Yeah, exactly. You see? And there's something so relatable about Tina Fey, even though there's nothing relatable about her. She's like a multi
billionaire.
Billion squillionaire.
Yeah.
But like, there's just something very down to earth about her. She's just so funny. Oh my God, her gag rage is like, she's just
incredible.
Unbelievable.
So I'm going to ask you about this in a moment. We might do an Instagram story about it as well, but there was, I think it was The Cut on Twitter last night was saying about all these comedians, very well-known comedians, about jokes they wish they had written. So we're going to come back to that. But first, your show, Vicar Street, that's a big enough venue.
It is.
No pressure.
It is. It is. I'm very excited. I have big props and I have, I've gotten my name like in big letters, but only JOA because I can't afford to get the rest of it. So it's just this. So I've got these huge big JOAs and I've got like glitter cannons for the end and everything. I'm very excited.
So tell us a little bit about it without, I suppose, you still want people to go to it. Don't do the routine.
No. It's stand up. Like that's what it is. Like I'm trying to think, is there any kind of like arc to it? There isn't really. It's just crack.
How do you work though? Do you know how most comedians kind of, but how they remember?
Oh, because you're doing it so much.
Okay.
And like, I'll always come off stage and be like, damn it, I didn't do that thing that I really like doing. Like, you'll always miss bits. And plus, if you're enjoying yourself, it shouldn't feel scripted. Do you know what I mean? Like, you should be just kind of having the crack. And I like doing crowd work and stuff, which you can't plan for. So there's a bit of that. But there's Vicar Street, and I'm going to like other places.
So what's the date for Vicar Street?
So Vicar Street's the 26th, but that's sold. Okay. No, that's gone.
Okay. What are your other dates then?
So my other dates are I'm in Cocklands in Cork on the 10th and the 16th of May.
Okay.
And I'm in the Waterford Arts Centre the night before Vicar Street, which is the 25th of April.
That's a great venue, actually.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then you're going to be part of Cat Laughs, of course. Speaking
of
previously,
previously
about all the male lineups, now the posters are definitely littered with lots of lovely ladies.
Yeah, well, we're better looking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Like, I remember one time doing a gig, because people are like, is it hard being a woman in comedy? I'm like, not really. Like, well, I did this gig with Deirdre. We were doing a Jazz Fest. Oh, sorry, I'm doing Jazz Fest as well on the 4th of May.
Okay.
That's my leave-out show. And I was only doing comedy. God, I was only doing a wet week. And I was down at Jazz Fest and I think I'd like 7 minutes of material. And when the press came out, it was just huge big pictures of me and Deirdre. Okay. Because I was a woman. Everyone's like, who is your one? And I was like, hey, I've arrived. And all the lads were like teeny tiny pictures. Like you could barely see their eyes.
Oh,
I was like,
God,
this is great.
So funny. What else? You said you've got loads to plug. What else are you working on?
Oh, so that's all those shows.
That's not enough.
Yeah. And then I'm doing an hour at the Dorky Book Festival on the, I think it's the 18th of June is the date for that.
Okay.
And I'm also in the Cellar in the International tomorrow night and the next night.
Very good.
Trying new material.
Love it.
And then I'm writing my Edinburgh show.
Well, so you're busy. How are you settling into London? Like, you're not officially there? Because Alison Spittle was on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, a while ago now. And we had one of those moments where we had to go to an ad break, I was laughing so hard.
No, she's so ridiculous. Funny.
But she has great comparisons between the two places because obviously it was a big decision for her to move over as well. And it's the same for you, I imagine.
She's, I've met Alison, we've met up a couple of times over there. She's in Camden.
Yes.
So I have this thing, like, so I travel a lot and then I was back and forth here and I was looking for rooms and turns out people don't actually want to live with the comedian. They don't. I was like, they'll love living with me. Sure, I'm great crack. I'm such good company. And they're like, oh, so you're not here or you're here during the day and you come in late at weekends.
You're noisy. And no.
They were like really, it was really hard to find a room.
Yeah.
Plus they're so bloody expensive. Like you'd want to see the rooms. And they're like a grand a
insane,
month. And you're
insane.
Like, are you on crack?
Yeah.
But eventually I found one anyway in Clapham Common. And I'm moving in there. It's five women, all single, all in their 30s.
Oh, dear. That's a show.
I know.
There's a show.
One of them's a sex therapist. So
oh
I'm fascinated to dig into her
brain.
Are
they from all over the world? London's so amazing for that.
One of them's Irish, actually.
Oh, right.
And then the rest of them are all English, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be your next show for sure.
And I was like a sex therapist. I was like, oh my God. Like, I find that stuff fascinating. I could do with one. Anyway.
So do you think you'll be happy there? I know it's a hard thing to forecast because it is so different.
I love it.
Okay.
Like, it's so busy and there's always something going on. And I was actually thinking about this the other day. It's lovely having the both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I can come home.
Yeah, because you're here for
Dublin.
A few weeks.
Yeah, I'm here for a few weeks now for work. And then I can go back there. And like, while a lot of my friends around me are kind of getting into their routine, like their babies and their marriages and stuff, and I am doing that thing, those kind of things. So you need something else to be doing.
Absolutely.
And so the traveling and all, I really enjoy.
Excellent.
No, I love it, and I can go to shows over there. There's so much theater over there. There's so many shows. Like I'm in the I did the Soho myself there last week, but I go to shows in the Soho a good bit.
Yeah.
To see what other comedians are doing. And plus you can do so many gigs over there. Like you can gig every night of the week over there.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
No,
and
I love it.
There's more telly over there. There's just loads going on.
So that's my next question. Is there telly?
There hopefully will be telly, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say it in case it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've done that before. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be huge. And then nothing happens and everyone's like, who's your one? But there's stuff going on over there. So hopefully something will
come
with something.
Excellent. And tell me now this thing, the line, is the joke that you wish you had actually, because that was a fascinating article for me to read. It was mostly people pointing to early stand-up, Eddie Murphy stand-up.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's unbelievable. But like, just to say, pretty much every joke I ever hear, I'm like, I wish I'd written that. I'm very greedy. But I remember, it's so simple. It was so simple, but so brilliant. Jo Brand is a joke.
Yes.
And she says, people ask me why I didn't take my husband's name when I married him. And I said, it's just not my thing. I don't think Bernard would suit me. Simple, but it's brilliant.
But that's the thing. It's all the one-liners and the really simple ones that are so effective.
Yeah. And they're the ones that annoy you the most because you're like, oh God, it's so obvious, but so not obvious and so brilliant.
But
I love her.
It is a real skill and it is such an art form. And there's so many people.
I don't know if I call it an art form, to be honest.
No, definitely.
I don't know if I would.
Because it's a certain way of thinking. It's a certain way of viewing the world. And of course, there's many different forms of comedy, like observational and whatever. But it is like, you have to have that kind of brain. It has to work that way.
Yeah, but I think as well, like when I first started in comedy and I didn't know my arse from my elbow, I was like, you can't learn how to tell jokes. I was like, you know, you have a natural ability or you don't and la la la. But actually I was completely wrong. You can't. There is a technique.
Okay.
And you can't, like some comedians you meet and they're generally very kind of good humoured and funny in their day-to-day chat. They just are. They're just funny people. They've got funny bones. Other comedians you meet and they're absolutely not.
Like, no, but that's the whole thing. That's the whole, like, you know.
And they learn.
But if you ever read, like, books about, like, SNL and all the comedians there, like they're usually down people. And they turn it on to go on stage.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm in green rooms a lot of the time with very depressed people. Like, very down. Very, like, blue people.
That creative, that sensory, it's, like, highly emotive. Your emotions are on the surface.
Yeah.
Your performer. It's all that bashed in together.
Yeah. I do find, though, the less time I spend with people and the more time I spend on my own, and the more work I do, the more time I spend on my own.
Right.
The worse I'm getting at spending time with people.
Yeah,
it's
that
so
happens.
Weird.
Though.
Does it?
It does happen. Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting that at all. I'm like, why am I suddenly allergic to like any sort of social arrangement?
But here, like, I, you know, went from working 6 days a week at Today FM to five, and now I'm in whenever I want across the week, but yeah. here every weekend. I find when I come in, I'm like, oh God, it's so loud and so noisy, so many people. Yes. Because it's not like my house, which is yeah. ridiculous. So I've got to get re-socialized to
You've
that.
Climatized to like a quieter life. Yeah. I know. I just didn't expect that.
It happens.
I'm like, God, I'm going to, yeah, go on.
Tell me, Easter. So... Mm. Did you have a little Easter egg hunt this morning?
No, I just, me and my mum didn't even acknowledge it.
Oh no.
Morning.
So the Easter bunny did not visit your house. You mustn't have been very good this year.
We're two grown women. If the Easter bunny visits our house, we'd be putting him on a register. But I remember when I was a kid, because obviously we used to give up chocolate and all that for Lent.
And it was so exciting.
Oh my God. My uncles and aunties and all, like whenever they used to come up and visit us, they'd always bring...
Yes.
Chocolates, always. Like loads of chocolate. Like you'd never get away with it now. Like people
Here's
would have a nervous
chip.
Breakdown. Yeah. But so by the time Easter Day came, we'd have these huge big tins of like, I remember just gorgeous, like Turkish Delights, Twirls, Snickers, everything. And then I remember I had a piece of pineapple one year after eating my entire tin and I got sick everywhere. And then for years I was like, I'm allergic to pineapple.
No.
And eventually my mum was like, Joanne, you'd eaten like 12 bars at that stage. And I was like 12 years of age or something like that.
It was probably
it was
chocolate.
Disgusting what we did. It was disgusting. Very crap though.
Listen, I know it's going to be great at Vicar Street. That date sold out, as we said, but where can people see the dates? Your website.
So my website, joannemcnally.com.
Excellent. It's always a pleasure. We have to find another reason for you
Is
to come
gone
very
way
soon.
Over?
Yeah, I know.
What?
I know. It's so fun. Thank you, Joanne.
Thanks,
you so
Allison.
Much.
Bye.